We are joined now by the illustrious adjunct professor at Copenhagen Business School. I believe he also was the co-author or lyricist on Fernando and Waterloo for ABBA, and the author of Cool It, The Skeptical Environmentalist Guide to Global Warming. This is Bjorn Lomborg. Mr. Lomborg, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Dennis.
As I read through your notes, you are my type of guy on this because as is usually the case, you're the voice in my head on these things. I kind of believe in them. I wish there was more active discussion going on. And I don't know about you, but I think Al Gore saying the debate is over was one of the stupidest and most ineffective tools he could have used in his cause in the entire debate.
Well, at least the debate is certainly not over in how we should deal with this problem. And it seems to me if we're going to invest probably the biggest amount of money we've ever invested in any social policy in the world, we should at least have a good conversation about how we should spend that.
All right. Well, see, I'm not completely sold that this is man-made. Are you at this point?
Yes. I clearly say in the book, this is a man-made problem. We are emitting carbon emissions, and we are causing global warming. But what I am saying is we need to get a sense of the proportion of the impact. You know, how much are we actually damaging the world, and what is the best way for us to do something about it? And both of these ways, I think we're somewhat misled by many of the news stories. It's not going to be 20 feet of sea level rise. It's going to be about 1 foot of sea level rise. And we also got to ask, is Kyoto, for instance, the best way to solve this problem? No. If everybody did the Kyoto Protocol, we would postpone global warming by the end of the century by 7 days. Mm-hmm. I'm simply saying if we really want to do something about climate change, we have much better policies that we could do, which involves investing in research and development in non-carbon-emitting energy technologies.
All right. I seem to have found a pragmatic man in the middle who I might get an answer to this question from, because everybody I ask from either side of the debate, I get a different answer. How much greenhouse emission, it is less than one, man-made is less than 1%, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, yep. Where at in that 1%? Around one half of 1%? I've read 53/100%. Is it akin to that, man-made greenhouse emissions?
Oh, sorry. What are you talking about? The annual emissions of CO2 is very, very. I'm not sure what that number is.
Okay.
But what is important to remember is that yes, the Earth, if you will, breathes in and out a lot of carbon dioxide.
Yes.
And so we are a very, very small addition. But it every year breathes in about the same. And what we are doing is we are adding every year a little bit more CO2. That's why the contents of CO2 goes up in the atmosphere.
I understand, but you feel that little bit, that less than 1%, maybe even a half of 1% that we're adding is the tipping point. You feel that this problem is averted without that?
Well, let's not use the word tipping point. Let's rather say that's what causes some of the problems, yes. It's a little bit like a big company can have a huge turnover, but it's the profit that matters, and that profit might just be, you know, half or 1% of the turnover, but it's that 1 or half% that really matters to the company.
All right. Let's talk about Greenland. I also hear a lot of discrepancies on Greenland. Please explain to me in your eyes what is happening in Greenland right now. Some people say it's like going to be a postage stamp size thing in the immediate future. Some people say nothing's happening. What in your eyes is happening in Greenland?
Well, it's important to say that I'm a social scientist, so I'm just reading the studies, and what they seem to indicate is that Greenland is indeed melting faster than the models were expecting, but we still have to remember that even if Greenland melted at the highest estimates of what's happening right now, for the rest of this century, it would mean an addition to the sea level rise that we're going to see by the end of the century by 2 inches. So we're not talking about a huge amount. We're talking about a substantial amount more than what we thought. We thought it was only going to be about 1 inch. It might actually end up being 3 inches instead. But let's remember, in social terms, that's still a very, very negligible part. The major part of the reason why sea levels are going to rise is because water, as everything else, expands when it gets hotter.
Mm-hmm. Now, we were talking earlier, you referenced the Kyoto Protocol. I'm surprised to hear that if we enact it fully, it gives us an extra 7 days. I'm not sure at that point if I know if it's about to end, if I need the nerve-wracking nature of an extra week. Put something in place of the Kyoto Protocol for me then. Let's talk about the Lomborg Protocol. How would the money be better spent? How would it be spread more fairly amongst the countries of the world? And if we don't get China on board for any of this, can we still do something effective?
No. And that's, of course, why I'm proposing we need to focus on a very different strategy. Right now, we talk a lot about cutting emissions right now. It makes us feel good and warm and fuzzy inside. But the problem, of course, is, as we just talked about with the Kyoto Protocol, is that it does very little good very far out into the future. What we need to do is instead make sure that it becomes much cheaper for our kids and grandkids, but also, as you mentioned, for the Chinese and the Indians, to cut emissions in the future. And that involves dramatically increasing research and development in non-carbon emitting energy technologies. Basically, right now, solar panels cost perhaps 10 times as much as fossil fuels. That means, you know, a few rich people will have solar panels in their roofs, but most people in the rich world won't, and certainly nobody in the poor world. What we should do, instead of trying to cajole people into putting up, oh, please put up a few more solar panels, we should focus on making solar panels much cheaper. Mm. Imagine if they actually became cheaper than fossil fuels by mid-century. That would mean that all of our grandkids would substitute, but it would also mean the Chinese and the Indians would. So my solution is to say, let's make the new Kyoto Protocol, which is actually going to be signed in Copenhagen in 2009, which is where I'm right now, that would mean we should invest 0.05% of GDP mm-hmm. in non-carbon emitting energy technology research and development. It would be 10 times cheaper than Kyoto, yet it would still be a 10 times increase in the actual research and development that the world would be doing.
And you know, Bjorn, you could not be more accurate in saying once you make it a price point issue, that's when it'll take that it will sweep
Absolutely.
The world. If you make the price tag lower than fossil fuels, I guarantee you we'll be teaching our kids about a quaint concept called fossil fuels a scant 50 years from now if somebody makes it cheaper to do it some other way. And by the way, before we go on, I want to say that the actor Ed Norton, who I don't know, I don't have a dog in this fight, I believe as of a couple years ago, and he seems like a steadfast man who I'm sure is stuck with this, has a great program where if you solar panel your house, his organization matches it and solar panels a house somewhere in an inner city, let's say, or a disenfranchised zone. I think it's a noble effort. I know it might not be the fix you're even talking about there, Bjorn, but at least when I heard that the kid had come up with that, the kid, he's probably 40, but at least when I heard Ed came up with it, I thought, good for him. At least he's trying something. Let's talk about rising sea levels. The thing I love about you is it's like you don't go into the voting booth and just sweep down one side and pull all the ballots. You say that Antarctica will actually accumulate more ice this century. Can you explain that to me, Ricky?
Yeah, again, it's important to say I'm not saying that. That's the UN Climate Panel, these thousands of scientists, the ones who got the Nobel Peace Prize together with Al Gore, who's actually saying that their models show that Antarctica will increase in thickness overall, simply because, yes, it will melt more, but because of global warming also brings more precipitation, we're likely to see an overall increase, which means, of course, that sea levels are actually going to be about 1 to 1.5 inch lower because of Antarctica by the end of the century. And so, again, what we need to remember is we got to go back and say, what does the research tell us, not just what is the latest scare story in the paper.
Right.
And
I guess,
I was just going to guess
because I want to push the book a little, Bjorn. I like the cut of your jib. This is Bjorn Lomborg. He's the author of Cool It, The Skeptical Environmentalist. I like those two words put together because I think that's the key to this fix here. The Skeptical Environmentalist Guide to Global Warming. Go ahead. Sorry I had to interrupt, but I got to sell
Bjorn. How could I resist you interrupting for that? No, but the point again here is to say if we really care about sea level rise, and if we care about the people who are going to be hit by it, we also got to ask ourselves, how do we best help them? Of course, in the long run, we should stop emitting carbon emissions by investing in research and development, as we just talked about. But we also got to ask ourselves, should we do something for Bangladesh? And here, my concept with Al Gore is really, why is it we want to push a Kyoto-like treaty, which essentially means that we are going to postpone the time when Bangladeshis are going to have a problem with sea level rise by 7 days at the end of the century,
yeah.
instead of focusing on the problems they have right now, which is lack of clean drinking water, malaria, all those very, very boring old problems that we know how to solve very, very cheaply. Now, if we dealt with some of those problems, not only would we help Bangladeshis right now, but we would also make them much richer so that they would be able to deal much better with their futures. They would leave much better societies for their kids and grandkids, being able to deal with the sea level rise. So by the end of the century, this would not be poor Bangladeshis dealing with climate change, but rather rich Dutch people. Not to say that this is not a problem, but to give a realistic sense of, do we want to help them a little 100 years from now at a very high cost, or do we want to help them now a lot at lower cost and also leave them much better societies able to deal with the problem when 2100 comes around?
You know, Bjorn, you're making so much sense. I can't believe they're not going to hunt you down and try to gaffer tape your mouth shut, because you're. This is exactly what we should be doing. Give me a real quick, I got around a minute. Tell me about the Copenhagen, I'm sorry I'm mispronouncing that, consensus. What'd you form?
Well, we basically asked some of the world's top economists, where do you get the most bang for the buck?
Right.
And what they came up with was to tell us, if you invest in preventing HIV/AIDS, malnutrition, malaria, ensuring free trade, especially for agricultural goods, you can do an immense amount of good. For every dollar you spend, you can probably do somewhere between $10 and $40 worth of social good. On the other end, if you invest in climate change through, for instance, the Kyoto Protocol,
yes.
for every dollar you spend, you end up doing about 30 cents worth of good for the world. And the question we simply ask is, if you want to do good, why not do $40 of good for every dollar you spend before you do 30 cents?
Bjorn, you're welcome here anytime, my friend. I think if most of the people in the world took your approach, we would solve these things not overnight. Nothing happens overnight. But you're right. 100 years down the road, we might be cooking along, and everybody might have a little change in their pocket, a little spending money that would solve a lot of these problems. But right now, we got to use our heads. You sound like you're using yours. Come back and visit Bjorn Lomborg. Dennis Miller Show.